our scripture is Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 23 to 30, 10 to 31. Please let us rise. Media, can we have it so that people can follow? Okay. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 23 to 30, rundown 31. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in it, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why the nations rage and the people plot vengeance? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hands and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. I want you to take note of that. Look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the holy name, the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated now. Our Father, the entrance into your words gives life and light. Enlighten us. What do I have? What do I know? What strength do I have? But Lord, I'm holding on to you this morning. To me, sound is crying in the heart of every soul here. Father, speak to us by yourself. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am directed to draw our attention to the cry of the early church. So that's what we are going to look at this morning. The cry of the early church. And when we say cry, that's really the definition. Because most of us know what it means to cry. A cry is an expression of distress when you are in pain, in sorrow. It means shedding tears, typically shouting, screaming, to express a feeling of emotion, to howl at times, and quite a number of times to lament. That's a cry. Lament is a cry. Or to sob. Why are you sobbing? Our scripture has some more definition than that. The additional definition that it brings into it from the scripture we have read is proclamation. A cry is a proclamation. To cry out, to proclaim as a herald, as a messenger. Like a town crier. Although the town criers nowadays are never able to reach their people, they cry to part of the town. But the one we have is one long proclamation, town crying, world crying, global cry. And this is from the Greek word kerygma. That means to announce, to preach. So, what we are considering this morning is what and how the early church cried, how they preached about, and what they preached about. We're going to examine it. If there is a need for the 21st century church, 21st century believers like you and I, to weep, to lament, to proclaim the gospel. But when we talk about the early church, wasn't stationed in just one city. It wasn't just in Jerusalem. Of course, you know, no matter how likely we are Bible students, you must know the first Christian martyr, Stephen, that when he was martyred, because of it, a great persecution arose. And that was part of the way the Apostle Paul came into prominence. Now, after that happened, really, it was the dispersal of seeds. Because the Lord had told them that they are going to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to all your 12 parts of the earth. And then they were sent in Jerusalem. And so there had to be a persecution, a strong one. And that dispersed them. It was the dispersal of the seed of the word. And from that, they were able to go to a number of places. Some of the first places were even in Africa, and in Europe, and in Antioch, where Christians were for the first time called Christians. Believers, were for the first time called Christians. Let me just have that scripture, because I like to establish when you talk about the early church. Let's look at Acts of the Apostles 26 media. Let me look at chapter 11, verse 26. And chapter 12, verse 1. I would like to read that. And when he had found them, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church. They then refer to Barnabas. Paul, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Go on, I think this should be the last. There are 12 now. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. So even after they had been dispersed up to that place, the persecution continued. The hard time continued. What was the cause of their cry? The cause of their cry, if you from the scripture we read, would look as if it was just because the chief priests, the elders, the king stood up and they vexed the church. They decided to persecute the church. They would take it no more. They made alliance among themselves, joined themselves together. And the apostles here mentioned Pontius Pilate. And for me, that represents the judiciary. The Gentiles are persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Majorly are the Muslims. So, the church was in anguish and cried out. Yet, they published the word. The word of the Lord was published regardless of whatever was happening by way of persecution. It was published throughout the region. Now let's see the way it went. Acts chapter 13. Let me read from verse 46. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." So those of us who are like the old Jews that have the opportunity to hear this word, we hear it over and over again, and there is rejection in our hearts. This was the kind of thing that made the gospel to turn to the Gentiles. Go on, 40. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the world. Go on. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. This is word that some of us don't like to hear. There are many who on hearing it are glad. They rejoice, they count it a privilege. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Yes, persecution. But the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Verse 29. But the Jews stand up, the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 21 lastly. But they shook off the dust from their face against them and came to Iconium. The disciples were not deterred by whatever persecution, whatever circumstances were on their way. So what was their cry? We've read the scripture, the background scripture to this. And verse 24 tells us that they acknowledged the power of the Lord as creator. So whatever the situation or circumstances, we must know that the Lord as creator has power over his created. That person, those people that are persecuting and raging, God has power over them because he created them. And he also has power over us and our destiny because he created us. And he created us for a purpose. We don't need to panic. We don't need to fret. When these things come and say, because of that, I want to hide in one hole. I don't want people to know that I'm a Christian. I just want to be that kind of modest Christian that will not say anything. And people will say, I like your Christianity, Jare. All of those ones they carry on for head. Then, they were also threats and raging. They acknowledged before the Lord that, look, there are threats. But in verse 25, he said, but these are vain things. Can you say vain things? Let all of us say vain things. It may not sound vain to you because at the time it's coming, it's like pump action. It's hitting you so hard. These persecutions, they come in many ways. By way of trials too. Trials that are so, so difficult to endure. But can you raise your inner voice and say, these are vain things. These are vain things. So, where were these verses coming from? From the heathens. But he said, these were not new. If we look back to our scripture, verse 26 said, they were predetermined. We know ahead of time. You cannot say you do not know the scripture that anybody who wants to live for Christ Jesus must be ready for persecution. Did you come without counting the cost to this race? Then too bad. We have to begin to think of the cost we didn't count and begin to count it, because it is not possible for us to run this race without the threat of the enemy wanting to destroy your faith, wanting to ensure that you don't get to your goal. But now, what was their prayer? Because their prayer was a cry. What was it? Their cry is what I want us to say together. Nevertheless, can you say that after me? Nevertheless, that notwithstanding, regardless of that, in spite of threats, we will preach the word. Hallelujah. And I want to say, grant us thy servant boldness to speak the word. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, regardless of whatever is happening, in spite of the threat, grant us your servant the grace and the boldness to preach this word, to speak it, to proclaim it, to say it loud always, with signs and wonders which you have promised and which you have already started noticing. We saw the lame man and the beautiful gate. That semi regular that was in Jerusalem was repeated in Lystra, in Iconium, all over the Gentile world. These things were there, we see it. So, more with boldness to preach, give us boldness to preach. And today, that is still happening. Now, the intercessors for Nigeria group, there was a time that one Nigerian, because the vision that came that the focus of the gospel is shifting to Africa, that was quite by the mid 2020, that was the last decade, that the focus was focusing on Africa. And the number of evangelists, even from Europe, that God revealed that to, they gathered in a hotel to pray. And one prominent Nigerian priest, pastor was there. And that hotel was shaking, visibly shaking like an earthquake. So it's not the God of yesterday only, it's the God of today. And are there threats today? Can I hear you? Are there threats today to this gospel? Yes, more than ever before in Nigeria. So what is our cry? How intense is our cry? Is our cry just, oh, I don't want to die, Lord. I don't want to be running to the bush. I don't know what is happening in the north. I don't want to be happening. Is that the only cry we are crying in times like this? Our cry should be deep and genuine. Yes, there are threats. Very much. In southern Nigeria, we are still very lukewarm. In northern Nigeria, there is mature approach to this cry. Martyrdom has been there since 2010. In fact, before we traveled out, I used to subscribe to Tell Magazine, and repeatedly, I read about pastors sending messages to their wives when this Boko Haram started. And saying, I died well. What did they mean is, I was killed. They used cutlass to cut my head. I died well. And the wives will weep, certainly. But they will know that it's a cause worth dying for. Hallelujah. Let Southern Nigeria arise. Southern Christians, arise. Now, right now, there is pogrom in Igbo lands, and I don't know how many of us are praying. When mothers come crying and say, my son was just carried away, I don't know where he is. And when, I think it's a cardinal of the Catholic Church, comes out, you must have seen that video that has gone viral, talking about how he went to the hospital, the number of the dead bodies he witnessed, the ones that are injured, young Nigerians, just being tortured like that. When you hear about this Islamization agenda, don't you take it lightly, dear Southern Christians. It is real and it is happening. Now, I want us to have a clip of a video that seems to sum up this. Let me have a clip of that video that seems to tell us some of a number of things that have been happening that we are taking for granted. Intelligence that is being shared by the United States. If you watch there, you would have seen the picture, the map of Nigeria, and it pointed at two places, South and Middle Belt. You know how Otom has cried and cried. You know how recently even one of his very close aides was killed and how he was attacked. There is a prophecy for Benue. That prophecy has been standing there for a long time from Pa Elton, a prophet that the Lord brought to Nigeria for many years, and a number of things he said about Nigeria have happened and are happening. The Middle Belt is like a shield for us. It's because they have not given in that we can afford to do what we are doing. If you saw that map very well, because it is quite secure, the people are determined not to give up their faith. That is why we those of us this way have been shut up. This is the time to arise. in your private prayer, take it as a responsibility to say, Lord, remove the yoke of this strange leadership from us. This plan to Islamize and Fulanize Nigeria, remove it from us. And that, in spite of all this notwithstanding, let's go ahead and preach this gospel. The message of the church should be, repent, believe the Holy, believe the gospel, be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, abide in Christ and within the body of Christ in fellowship as you go and make disciples. That gospel is never complete until you've gone to make disciples. But the question each of us should be asking ourselves is, make disciples of who? A number of times we make disciples of the church where you worship. Yes, you can go tell people, come and worship with me. But we don't preach church. Whom do we preach? Christ. It is the Christ we preach. It should be the Christ we live, so that as we live our lives in him, it will also attract people. Now let's see these details in Matthew 28. We know it. That's like the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And this was Jesus' post-resurrection injunction. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Lord has commanded to be with us. And the way it happens in the mission field is this. A number of brethren we've partnered with, in the mission field, you find that when you are witnessing, you are proclaiming Christ, you find yourself as one of the miracle workers, something you've never done before, something that has never happened before, it happens. Because this is God's promise and he will fulfill it. Some that have never prayed for the sick and they get healed, they pray and they get healed. Will you believe that there are people who have never heard about Jesus Christ? They've not heard about him at all. And when you talk about Jesus Christ, it's very strange to them. So why should we keep this message to ourselves? Let us look at Romans 1, 14 to 17. I will read that too. Romans 1, 14 to 17. I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and the unwise. I want this church this morning to read this together, so you will know that you are owing somebody something. I am a debtor. Can we say that? I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. We are debtors. The Lord said we should owe no debt other than the debt of love. That means that if we love them, we have to tell them this gospel. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Go on, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. Some of us are so ashamed to even carry the Bible to church. We try to hide it. Oh, then we've not known him. And how can we? How can we share what we don't have? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Say Romans 10, let's take verses 14 and 15 there, Romans chapter 10, verse 44. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This scripture has been read by Capro to us here repeatedly. And after their mission, they say, take a nation of the world and begin to pray for that nation. Particularly these nations that don't know Christ. Begin to pray for them. that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Some say, I can't preach. Oh, the whole idea of sending is, do you give for evangelism? Do you give towards evangelism? Do you give towards missions? Do you have a missionary you support who is in the field? Some of them go to bed hungry. God is not just calling you to worship him. This place is glorious, beautiful. We share testimony. But more than that, in our individual life, there should be a way of those of us who can go right into the field can support missions. But you say, you can't say you can't do evangelism because your office is your mission field. Everywhere around you is a mission field. Some of us are lecturers and we allow this population of students to go. And they go to the churches, and when they go to their churches, some of the pastors, I'm sorry to say, especially this day pastor, some of them don't know their left from their right. They don't even know what synoptic gospel means. And you are a child of God. You know this. You lecture them. Every lecture time is a crusade, even if you say you are abusing it. You don't abuse it. You give them their hours. But those initial hours, and as lectures go on, there must be something that brings about talking about Jesus to these young people, because the whole place is so derailed. So we can preach and look at how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. It's glad tidings we are preaching, and we are preaching good things. So then, faith comes by hearing, and you are the one to give them the advantage to hear, and hearing by the word of God. If you cannot go out, you can send by providing sponsorship, and you can pray and pray. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, then 9:16. For Christ did not send me to baptize, that was Paul speaking, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, let the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Nowadays, I hear of churches who bring motivational speakers to motivate the people, bring a number of people to amuse, just to get people into it. Even if that is your style, make sure that the word of God is preached finally, and it is preached. Those, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. There are still some of us in this congregation, in spite of what the Lord is doing here and the truth that is imparting, who still feel that the word of God is foolishness. I just pray that the Lord will deliver such in Jesus' name. It is only foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Use the word being saved. We are saved, but we are also in the process of being saved, because until he lands here to take us, or until he calls us home, we are still in the process of being washed in readiness to be saved finally. Yes, to 18. Then let me see. Chapter 9, verses 16 and 18. 9:16, okay? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me, yes. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. That is Paul speaking. Are you keen into that? That necessity is like a compulsion for you to preach this gospel, to tell people about this Jesus, to tell them to believe and be saved, to tell them to live their life for Christ, to tell them to also go and win disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'll just run down as you pray. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Go on. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Go on. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, God forbids. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. Persecution must come, but nevertheless, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. Now, do you know that in the midst of all this persecution that is going on the world over, that there have been a large population of Muslims who have also converted to Christian? The world over, they are talking about between the 2015 figures that was came out of a study, says 8.4 to 10.2 million converts from Christianity, from Islam to Christianity. These are reports from the mission field. We are told that a lot is happening in the mission field, even in times like this. People are beginning to weigh, and it's a religion that kills. With a religion, if you call it a religion, it's a way of life, that's Christ, that shares love and gives love. And we have that opportunity to do that. Let us all unite. Let's stop dividing ourselves. We saw this working when we went to South Africa and we were in their mission field. We introduced the Capro South African people to the church where we partnered to pastor. And the pastor of that church took advantage of Capro mission and enlarged their coast. They grew very fast. We also wrote tracts, seeing the situation. As you are just passing by, you will see signboards, because abortion is just free there. You can come here, there is abortion and all that. And these young South African blacks are just going there, finishing themselves, committing abortion every time. And then taking advantage of all that Mandela did to do rubbish. And we had to write tracts to make sure that we put things in perspective for them to understand. And those tracts were printed by us, by the NCGF, the graduate fellowship from Lagos. And it was sent to us. And instead of putting their name, NCGF, they had to put the name of the church there in South Africa so that they will use it. Our business is to make sure that this word reaches out, not that we are dividing ourselves. And why were these people so freely ready to do that? Because the pastor we met there, the first training he had was with CU NIFES at Nsukka, where he was president. Church, we must unite. We must unite to deliver this word. Necessity is laid upon us to do so. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for these challenges. Thank you for our victory. Thank you, Lord, that victory you won at resurrection is still our victory today. Empower us in the power of your Holy Spirit, because that is why you send the Holy Spirit, to preach the word in season and out of season. Give us a yearning for souls, and let these souls come to your saving knowledge. And as they come in these end times, Lord, you are going to empower your people to be able to follow up these souls. We will not leave any that is weak to go. Lord, give your church this vision. And for those who do not know you, I pray today that your word will reach them, that you will break this bread and feed them, and they will come to your knowledge, and the yearning for souls will grow in their hearts. If we yearn for souls, this place will be full. Father in heaven, teach us to indeed desire the kind of salvation you brought for us. That one that took you to Calvary. Let us be ready to make every sacrifice to win souls for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have two special thanksgivings this morning. First, brother endurance, and then second, sister Ejiro, Ejiro Gene Etobro. They will come forward now. One following one side of the one aisle, and the other one follow the other aisle. Let's join them to celebrate the faithfulness of God, dance to His glory, and praise Him. The choir will be singing. When they are going back, the choral group will sing. Please, let's join them in this thanksgiving now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, let me hold you, my.